This is the GoatCast!
Hi, welcome to the GoatCast, episode number 2. Today we're going to talk about ducks. We'll talk about the ducks we have here on the farm, and we'll have a chat with Chrissy Brown from Sunnybrook Poultry Farms. Alright, welcome to the show. This week we're going to be talking about ducks, but before we get into that, let's go ahead and take everyone's calls. Well, it looks like we don't have any calls this week, but those crickets are a great reminder to call the show. It's really easy to do. You just go to the website, thegoatcast.blogspot.com, and on the sidebar, there's a little call the show icon. If you click that icon, it's going to turn around, and it will allow you to type in your number. Once you type in your number and hit connect, it will call you back. It's that simple. Just leave a message. All right, now onto the farm around section. The farm around section is where I talk about what's happening here on the farm. And because it's winter, there's not a ton of things going on right now. We're doing the usual milking and feeding of the animals. But other than that, it's pretty uneventful. Because this is the first farm around section, I'm going to go ahead and run you guys through a daily ritual of what I do. In the morning, I'll wake up and the first thing I'll do is I'll get all of the leftover food from the night before and put it in a bucket for the pig. And then I'll go ahead and go out to the barn and fill up all the... I have various buckets that are kind of set around for the different animals. So I'll go ahead and fill up the chicken bucket with their scratch and a little bit of layer feed and some clam shells. And then I'll go ahead and get the rabbit jar filled up with their food. I'll also fill up the turkey food bucket, and I'll fill up the goat food bucket and so on. You know, it really helps to have a bucket set out for every separate animal. From there, I'll go ahead and walk out and I'll feed the chickens. Then I'll walk over to the pig and I'll get him fed. And it's kind of funny because he just makes all kinds of sounds when you go out there. He notices when you come down the path there, and he just starts wiggling around and snorting and squealing because he knows he's going to be fed soon. But anyway, I go ahead and go feed him. And then right outside of his pen, we have our rabbit hutches. And what I'll do is I'll go over there and I'll get them fed. During the winter, the rabbits have been a bit of a challenge because their water freezes up really quickly. So what I'll usually do is I actually have two sets of watering containers for them. And I'll just go ahead and swap that out with a brand new container in the morning and in the evening. On top of that, I'll also put some snow in their pen because they eat the snow. And I think that helps keep them hydrated as well. From there, I go ahead and... get the alfalfa bucket and fill that up with some hay, and then I'll go and give the goats their hay, and I'll take Olivia in to milk. Once I'm done milking, I'll bring Olivia back out and I'll check everyone's waters, and then fill the waters if needed. That's pretty much an average thing that I do twice a day. I'll do it in the morning and the evening, and it's pretty simple. It doesn't take a long time, half hour, 45 minutes at the most. And it's not too bad. The other thing that one of the challenges, I guess, during the winter is making sure everything gets clean because everything is all frozen up and stuff. So one of the things that I'll do is I'll try to stay on top of that by scraping out things that I can or changing out, bedding for the chickens or the goats. It gets kind of mucky during the winter, and, you want to try to stay on top of that because if you don't, it could get kind of smelly. This week, we've also been bottling some hard cider that we're making. It went through its first ferment, and we're go ahead and getting it all bottled up and put down in the cellar to let it sit for a few more months. Really can't wait till that stuff comes around. It's really good when it's done. All right, I think that's it. Thank you. let's talk about ducks. We keep two types of ducks. We keep khaki Campbells and we keep Muscovies. Khaki Campbells we keep for eggs, and if you've never had a duck egg, I think that you should try it before you have any kind of opinions about it, because you know, I constantly run into people who are like, duck eggs, I don't know. And to tell you the truth, I don't think most people would know the difference between a duck egg and a chicken egg, and if they do, they would notice that the duck egg is actually, it tastes better, it's a little bit more creamy. Another thing about duck eggs is they're really nice to cook with because the whites firm up really well. They're just wonderful. I actually prefer duck eggs, and you know, it's because of all that stuff. They're just absolutely great. I guess one of the other things about duck eggs is, you know, a lot of people own chickens. And so if you go out on the in the farmers markets, and you know, you look at the classified ads and different things like that, you'll see a lot of people selling farm fresh chicken eggs, but you won't see very many people selling farm fresh duck eggs. So obviously what that does is it creates a little niche market for duck eggs. And so you'll notice that if you do decide to sell duck eggs, you can sell them a little more expensively than the chicken eggs in your area. You'll notice that, you know, some people will be requesting duck eggs specifically because they love to cook. You know, and it's great. It works out really well. All right, so let's talk about keeping ducks. Ducks are pretty hardy, and you know, they do well throughout the year. I really love having the ducks in the summer because they actually forage for all of their food, and you don't really have to feed them very much. During the winter and the fall, you do have to, you know, give them some supplemental grain, but they're a lot more efficient at making eggs into, or grain into eggs, than chickens are. Nothing against chickens. We have chickens around the farm here too. Okay, so one of the other things that I want to mention about ducks is they're very robust. They're very hardy. They have a higher body temperature than chickens do, so they're actually resistant to a lot of parasites that chickens, you know, aren't resistant to. Ducks will make a bit of a mess with water, but you know, they absolutely love water and they love to play in it. So it's nice to have out for them. One of the things that I noticed when I put the water out, the first thing our khaki Campbells will do is they'll jump into the water and take a bath, and it's really fun to watch. They're kind of interesting creatures. So they do make a little bit of a mess with water, but you know, as long as they stay on top of it, it's actually not that big a deal. A lot of people wonder, you know, is a duck going to make a lot of noise? And the answer to that is no. Ducks are relatively quiet. Muscovies are actually silent. They don't make any noise. But you know, even our khaki Campbells are pretty quiet. And both the you know, the females and the males, if you think about a male duck compared to a male chicken, the duck would obviously be a lot less noisy. Because of that, I think the ducks are actually a little bit more accepted in communities that don't allow for chickens. So, you know, if you're out there and you can't have or you can't have chickens in your community, you might want to think about, you know, keeping a couple ducks, because you know, a lot of times people don't associate ducks necessarily with farms. So a lot of times people won't have a big problem with ducks where they would have a problem with chickens. All right. Let's see. Let's go ahead and talk about duck meat. We raise Muscovies for meat, and they're a pretty good converter of food to meat. They take about, you know, 3 or 4 months to grow out, and they taste really good. They are much harder to pluck than a chicken. You know, ducks are gonna, their feathers are really gonna hold on tight, and so, you know, when you're slaughtering them, sorry, my dog's over there wiggling around. You know, when you're slaughtering them, make sure that you get them scalded really well. Make sure that you get those feathers loosened, and you are going to have to do a bit more work when slaughtering a duck compared to a chicken. But you know, duck is incredibly versatile. They have a little bit more fat on their bodies, but that can be a good thing. One of the things that you can do with duck is you can confit it, which is an amazing preservation technique, and it just creates for some really delicious results. If you don't know much about confit, you should definitely look into it because it's a wonderful way to cook down some duck. A couple other things that duck is great for, you can make humane foie gras. I've been thinking about on the next hatch out that we do, I'm going to maybe free feed some of those ducklings some corn once they get to the right age, and just keep them free fed on that corn throughout their lives. That way, when they're ready to harvest, they'll have a nice liver to harvest for foie gras. Some of the other things that you can do, because the duck's ratio of fat to meat, is you can make duck bacon. You can also cure duck prosciutto. Just they're really versatile animals that you can actually do quite a bit with. Okay, I think that wraps us up with ducks. Let's go ahead and get into our interview with Christy Brown from Sunnybrook Farms. When it comes to poultry, Christy Brown has been a wonderful mentor. The wealth of knowledge that we've been able to obtain from her has been invaluable. It's a pleasure to bring in this interview to you guys today, because not only am I interviewing an expert in the poultry community, but a great friend as well. Christy Brown, tell us about Sunnybrook Farms.
Well, Sunnybrook Farm has two phases. There's a horse boarding side, and then there's the poultry side. So we're going to discuss the poultry side today. About 5 years ago, I got into raising baby chicks into laying hens, and have thoroughly enjoyed it, even in the wintertime when it gets kind of tough. There's, some ups and downs of it, but what started me on all of this was the fact that I like eggs so much. In fact, they're my favorite food on earth. And so I like my eggs every single day, and I like to raise my own because the taste of farm fresh eggs, there's just nothing that can compare to that, and the wholesomeness of a farm fresh egg is so much better than what you buy in the grocery store. In case you didn't know, the eggs you buy at the grocery store are often several weeks old, and more important than that is those poor chickens that lay those eggs have been under a lot of stress, and so they actually produce a stress hormone that goes into the egg, and that's what you're eating, is a bunch of extra hormones that the birds are putting out because they're under so much stress. They're in cages where they pack six birds to the size of a normal little dog cage that you would only put one dog in to take his, sleep for the night, but it's sad. They put six birds into a cage. They can't even stand up and flap their wings. All they can do is eat their food, drink their water, and lay an egg every day. And when they're 18 months old, that's the end of their life. They're yanked out of there and on the way to chicken heaven.
Gosh, that sounds horrible. Well, this episode is specifically about ducks. So I guess one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was maybe comparing chickens and ducks. Because we raise both on our farm. We love both animals, but we like having them both around. They're great. And so I guess one of the things I wanted to ask you was, how would you compare chickens and ducks?
I like the fact that ducks are so independent. They forage for all of their food. Of course, you do give them some supplemental feed, and especially while they're growing, where they need their high protein needs met. But they do such a fine job of going around your yard and getting the bugs and the snails, and you can have a bug-free place just by having ducks. And I think they're so cute when they go waddling around your yard. I like them even better than the straight upright duck called a runner duck, but there are a lot of people that like the runner ducks. That's fine too, but they look like a bowling pin with feet.
They are interesting looking. They're great. All right, I guess let's go ahead and talk about ducks and eggs.
If I was to buy some ducks because I wanted some duck eggs, let's go ahead and talk about how, you know, a duck would differ from a chicken, or how it would be similar to a chicken.
Most duck eggs are about the size of a jumbo chicken egg. So if you've ever purchased jumbo eggs, you know how big those are. Occasionally you'll get a duck egg that's even bigger than a jumbo chicken egg, and it won't even fit in your carton, it's so big. But often that's because it's a double yolker. Now the shell of the duck egg is much, much tougher, so you have to wrap it on the edge of the frying pan a lot harder to get through. But that's a safety feature too, and you have less breakage, less cracked eggs coming into the house because of how tough those duck eggs are. And as far as taste goes, they're basically the same. If you feed your ducks and your chickens the same diet, the eggs are going to come out tasting pretty much the same, but you get more bang for your buck, in essence, because how much bigger the duck egg is. And they actually eat less than a chicken, so you're getting a bigger product that's going to stretch for more breakfasts, you know, feed more people, because the duck eggs are so much bigger. Some people actually like the taste better. I'm almost to the point where I don't really notice a difference. I just find that they all taste very, very good. I'm raising Muscovies, Khaki Campbells, and Cayugas, and as well as a host of other kinds of chickens.
So let's go ahead and talk about like egg-laying ducks. Like, what varieties of duck would I pick up if I was interested in getting a lot of eggs, you know, getting something that would be comparable to a chicken?
I've just been raising ducks now for this last year, so I'm still learning myself. But from what I've learned, runner ducks lay eggs fairly well, but by fall they're pretty much done for the cold winter. Cayugas don't seem to lay in the winter. My Muscovies are hit and miss every once in a while, but your absolute best egg layer in the way of ducks is your Khaki Campbell, and it was a breed invented by a Mrs. Campbell, and her favorite color was khaki, and she, you know, did a lot of breeding to produce this new bird called Khaki Campbell. Now it breeds true, and they lay on the average 300 to 322 eggs per year. They're very prolific egg layers. They lay their first egg at the age of 5 to 7 months, and then they don't stop. They just keep going. They are an active breed, though, and they require quite a bit of space for foraging.
All right. Well, let's talk about meat ducks. What varieties would we look for in a meat duck? What breeds a bird?
Typically, meat ducks are ones that develop fast enough so that you're not just spending months and months feeding them. And the top of the list is your jumbo Pekin, or your regular Pekin, P-E-K-I-N. And they're pure white. They're ready to market in often as little as 8 weeks because they grow so fast. The other one is the Muscovy duck. They take a little longer, on the average 3.5 to 4 months before they're really big enough to butcher. But they're the quackless duck. So if you want a duck project and you don't want a lot of noise in your backyard, go for the Muscovy, because they are quackless.
We really enjoy our Muscovies. They're great to have around the yard. And quite a beautiful bird too.
Yeah, Muscovies are very multicolored. There are black and white ones, and they have the iridescent beetle green coloring on their head and in a lot of their feathers. And I have seen other colors. The pure white is more rare, but even as a pure white, it'll have a black top notch, almost like a hairdo. And of course, they have their familiar caruncle, which is red, and it runs around their nostrils and part of their beak. And it's very pronounced in a male, but not very pronounced in a female. And it's one of the ways to tell you have a male or a female when you're raising them from youngsters.
Excellent. In general, say I was looking for some egg-laying ducks, and I went to a local poultry farmer like yourself. In like, give me a range of what I should expect to pay for, you know, the different ages of duckling up to a duck that's actually laying at the time.
Most day-old baby ducklings are on the average of $5 to $6, can be even $8 to $10. When I have the rare white Muscovy duck on hand with a new batch of babies, they go for $10. And they're the first ones always picked out. The other colors that are going to be multicolored are $8. So certain ducks are a little bit cheaper, but they're not going to be the ones that are your best egg layers. They're your average ducks, such as, say the domesticated gray mallard, or your runner ducks, or your blue Swedish, or your buff ducks. There are many, many duck varieties. Ruin is another one, a breed from France. They look similar to the wild flying mallard, but they're much bigger. They're a cousin. When the ducks get older, you can expect to pay upwards $10, $15, $20, even $25 a piece. So say I had a Muscovy male drake, they call them, duck, ready for butchering or breeding, and he's maybe 5 or 6 months old, they're going to sell on the average of $25.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. What age should I really... I know that you touched on this before. So you're saying with Khaki Campbells, for instance, which is a great laying breed, again, could you just let us know what age they kind of start laying at?
Yes, on the average, 5 to 7 months.
Great, great. Well, what kind of food would someone need to pick up for a duck? What, like, if I know that the Khaki Campbells, our Khaki Campbells, they forage all throughout the summer, and we barely feed them anything. But during the winter, what should someone feed a duck?
Well, since food is scarce in the wintertime, you should make sure the ducks get plenty of grain, access to the grain. You can either buy a product from your local feed store, such as IFA or Cal Ranch, and they have waterfowl feed, which tends to have a higher protein content. When the ducks are youngsters or babies, for the first 2 months, they need an extra amount of protein, as much as 27-28%. And so you need to feed them a meat bird feed, because it goes for the meat birds of chickens as well as your ducks. It's because it's got a higher protein content, which is very important when they've got to grow rapidly, and so they need the feed that corresponds to how their body's pre-programmed to grow, which is rapidly. They have to get up to full size if they were out in the wild, so they're not going to be target for a prey animal. Excellent. When they're older, though, you can give them the same laying pellets or the laying mash that you give to chickens. I have sort of a all-natural scratch that I feed mine so that it can go for both the chickens and the ducks. I also have peacocks, and they just all share the same food. We go to the day-old bread store, and we can get a half a rack of bread for about $3, and that's a cheap way to add some supplemental fun feed for them, but by no means is it a full feed. But they love bread.
That's a little treat. That's like...
That's a treat, yes.
Dessert.
Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Say I picked up a bunch of ducks. Let's go ahead and talk about duck care throughout the year. I'd love to kind of start in, you know, let's start with spring, and we'll go ahead and talk about each season. And so do you want to go ahead and elaborate on that?
Sure. In the spring, if you're starting with new little baby ducklings, everybody thinks that ducks absolutely have to have a pond to swim in. Well, first of all, erase that thought from your mind. They love water, yes, but they don't have to have a pond. When they're older, they can do fine with just like a little child's swimming pool, a little wading pool that's easily tipped over and rinsed out and refilled. So keep in mind, you don't want it to be very big, or you can't get it to tip over. But little tiny babies, it's best that they don't even have water they can submerge themselves into until they're a few weeks old. They don't have their mother around them to rub off her natural body oils to keep them from getting waterlogged. So that's why it's important that they don't have a little bathtub to swim in for a while. They do tend to make a mess, and so if you can put them in a wire-floored cage with a small bowl for their water to drink and then their feeder, they will do fine. If they're on a, like say, in a big old Rubbermaid tote or something like that, and you're using bedding such as sawdust, it'll easily get wet from the water. They tend to take a bite of food and then a gulp of water before they can swallow. That's just natural for them. They can't swallow dry food without water in their throat. Or another way you can feed little babies is to make a little gruel like baby pablum, baby cereal, but just little bits at a time, and feed them at least 3 or 4 times a day. Even 5 or 6 is even better. Just small quantities so they can't make too big of a mess. And you want to make sure they consume all of the food you've given them. You don't want it sitting around for many hours because it'll go sour. You don't want to feed them food that might make them sick.
Now, while they're in the tub, they're brooding, so they need some heat. Is that correct?
Yes. I use the 150-watt heat lamps. And it's got like a clamp, so it clamps onto the side of my little Rubbermaid totes. Well, they're not little. They're pretty big. They are 56-gallon totes. That's the size that I use. And I make quite a nice little brooder out of them. I do both chicks and ducklings in those kinds of brooders. Now, if you're lucky enough to have a mommy duck on your farm, your little hobby farm, then let the mommy duck take care of her babies. And she will do an amazing job. And it's so much easier even than what you have to do. She'll take care of all its feeding, but you can put out a trough of food for them. But she will take them swimming within minutes of hatching them, let me tell you. Our mommy Muscovies, as soon as they've got generally about 12 babies all hatched, they just walk them right across us, right across the backyard and right into the pond. And they're just minutes old.
And she can do that because she can rub the oils
off. That's exactly right? Why she can do it. She can rub the oils into their feathers. And then they sit underneath her. So rain or shine, sleet or snow, they're going to sit under mommy until they get too big.
That sounds great. Let's go ahead and talk about the summer. During the summer, what should we expect?
You don't have to mow your lawn. They completely do all that for you and leave fertilizer behind. So make sure you get to water that in a few times a week, you know. But it's great to have. They eat a lot of grass, so they need the chlorophyll that's in the grass. They need the grass to help in their diet, an extensive amount of grass. Ducks and geese are both heavy grazers. The grain is almost less important, but still they need it. But the grass is absolutely at the top of the list. So what do you do in the wintertime for the greens that they need? They need the supplemental lettuce and leftovers from your kitchen. That's an important way to give them their greens.
So it sounds like they're pretty simple to take care of in the summer. And then in the autumn, as we start to prepare for, winter, what kind of things should we be gathering together? What should we make sure that we have on hand?
Good question. Have on hand the things that's going to make sure their water doesn't freeze. You can purchase water founts. They're like 3 gallons, and they have an electric outlet right on the sidewall, and it doesn't get wet inside it, so it's sealed, and you just plug a grounded 3-prong cord like a short 6-foot extension cord, run from maybe an orange extension cord line or something. You can use that as a waterer. That makes sure it doesn't freeze. You can also buy a dog food pet waterer, and it's an electric kind. And if you want to make sure the water doesn't get messy, then put the water bowl just on the other side of some kind of a chain link fence or some kind of a fencing, and cut a hole or an opening just big enough for them to put their beak through and get the water they need. Then they don't make such a mess out of the water.
That's great.
They find ways to do it. They're like kids.
And the time to do all this is in the autumn when it's not freezing cold outside, right?
Well before winter hits, because once it's here, it's a lot more work.
Yeah. And so we live in Utah, and our winters get pretty harsh. So it seems like the autumn and the fall time is really a time for us to make sure we're prepared. Let's go ahead and talk about winter. How hardy are they during the winter? Do they need any kind of special treatment? Let's go ahead and talk about that.
Make sure you don't have babies in the wintertime. That's, to me, would be a cruel thing to do to a little baby, because they don't have enough feathers on their body to keep them warm. And they might be just too big to get underneath mom, but, you know, just not enough feathers to keep warm. There have been ducks known to freeze their feet off, but I don't think they generally have that problem. As long as they can keep moving and they have some kind of a shelter, whether it's like an igloo or a shed or a barn, some place to get in out of the cold elements. It's optional whether you want to hang a heat lamp, but it's usually not necessary. And but they'll still lay their eggs if what you have are khaki Campbells. So be it known that those eggs are going to freeze very quickly. So know your cycle of your birds, when they tend to lay their eggs and get out to the barn and collect them before they freeze, or you have a frozen egg.
Otherwise, you have a lot of pig food.
Yes.
Yes, so winter, it's important to keep give them some sort of shelter. It seems like they have a tremendous amount of fat on their body as well. I think that people worry when the snow is coming down that they're going to walk out to duck sickles, but you know, I don't think that that's the case. I know that our ducks are incredibly cold hardy.
On the other hand, they're funny. They like to stand in the middle of the snowstorm with their head up to the sky, and so do my geese. They think the snow coming down is a lot of fun. And they have access to go into their shed, but they like to play in the snow more than even a child does.
That's excellent. How robust are ducks? I mean, do they, you know, tend to get sick, or is there, you know?
That's one thing I've noticed. Ducks don't get sick. They don't seem to have a list of ailments that plague them. Chickens do, but ducks seem to just escape from all of these problems. I'm just totally enjoying how healthy my ducks are, and they're a lot of fun. If you do handle them a lot as babies, they will respond to you, and they like to be held, especially Muscovies.
I guess one of the benefits about that is they probably also get along pretty well with turkeys, as opposed to, I know that you can have some issues with that, keeping chickens and turkeys together.
Yes, chickens and turkeys is actually not a good idea, but ducks seem to do just fine right along with the turkeys, and my ducks get to wander with my chickens, but all literature says don't do that in the beginning when they're babies. And the reason for that is ducks are a little messier when they eat. I mentioned that they have to have their food wet like a gruel when they're babies, where the chick does not. It needs to be the opposite. Their feed must be quite dry and clean, and then they go drink their water separately. But if you try to raise baby chicks and baby ducks, you've got the baby ducks making a mess out of the water, and then the chicks trying to drink dirty water that's got feed in it, and baby chicks succumb to a lot of upper respiratory infections very, very easily, whereas the duck just seems to be escape everything.
Excellent. Let's go ahead and talk about, I guess, just the variety of ducks that, let's start out with the ones that you keep, and then we'll also get into some of the other breeds that are out there. Some of the runners, we'll talk about them. But what ducks do you keep?
The runner duck is one that I will purchase the fertile eggs from a friend, and I will incubate them and hatch them out, because a lot of people like the runner duck. Like I said, he looked like a bowling pin with feet running around your yard. But they are a great grasshopper catcher. So I know a lot of my clients come all the way from the Tooele area that is inundated with a lot of grasshoppers. So that is a great bird, the runner duck, for grasshopper.
So they'll travel long distances to get
the
runners. And
Yes, people will.
Yeah. It seems like that would be great to have around a grain field, because I know that, you know, grasshoppers can be an issue with eating different types of grasses and stuff.
Yeah, grasshoppers and crickets.
So what are the main ducks that you keep here at the farm?
So the ones I like to keep are the Muscovies, the Khaki Campbells, and then I have Cayugas. I have some very, very beautiful blue Cayugas. I have a male and some females. And I have a black Cayuga, and he has a crest which looks like a pom-pom on his head. So I'm excited for spring of 2011 to produce some crested blue Cayugas from this breeding. And they will be some very, very pretty birds. They're a good egg layer, but not as good as the Khaki Campbell. And I'm just getting into Khaki Campbells, and currently I have some adult khakis, a male and a couple of females, but I don't have any babies yet. I plan to order a whole bunch this spring so my customers can come to me and get the baby Khaki Campbells. And I will be ordering females so they can make sure people can have the female egg layers just like the baby chicks. I'm going to push heavily to do more Khaki Campbell duck breeding as well as ordering in of the baby ducklings.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll tell you, having the ducks around our farm, it's just been a wonderful thing. And they're fun to watch. They're great layers. We really enjoy them. Well, Chrissy, I think that is going to wrap us up today. We really appreciate all of the information that you've given us. And we hope to talk to you again when we do the chicken episode.
Alrighty, thank you. Oh, one more thing before we go. Khaki Campbells are known to still be laying eggs faithfully at 6 and 7 years, which is far longer than chickens. Chickens are done by the age of 4, and actually by the age of 2, it's time to trade them out for some new youngsters for egg laying, because once they switch from being an excellent layer, they switch down to a good and then a poor layer. And it's a costly venture if all you're doing is feeding a mouth but not getting the eggs in return for it. So be sure to give me a call or send me an email if you would like to order some ducks or chickens or geese. My website is www.sunnybrookfarm.com. spelled SUNNYBROOKE farm.com. And my email is sunny_brook_farm@yahoo.com.
We will also post Christy's information and Sunnybrook Farm's web address and an email on the website for the show. Christy, thank you so much for letting us interview you today.
Thank you for having me.
That's our show for today. If you'd like, you can leave feedback on our blog, or you can contact the show by going to the website, thegoatcast.blogspot.com.